Welcome everybody once again to this series of talks, introductory to Buddhism, but I see many people here, members of our committee, old Buddhists, so I think what happens is some of you is any excuse to have another talk, which is great, why not? But the title of this evening's talk is going to be aimed at people who have got hardly any understanding of what Buddhism is at all, because that's what this series of talks is all about the Buddhist teachings of karma and rebirth. And one of the reasons we included this topic in a series of four talks on introductory Buddhist teachings is because this is very much at the heart of the Buddhist teachings, the law of karma and rebirth. It's at the heart because in the story of the Buddha, under the Bo tree where he became enlightened, the Bodhi tree, in Latin it's called ficus religiosus, which literally means, as you can probably understand, religious fig tree. And under that Bo tree, when the Buddha became enlightened, that was the first thing which he understood was his previous lives. And through the power of deep meditation, to accessing the fact that he'd lived before and re-experiencing some of the main events of that life, of those lives rather, and actually knowing that this was not the only life, there'd been many lives before. And also by examining the links between those lives, understanding how the law of karma worked. And this became part of Buddhism, the law of karma and rebirth. And it's a fundamental part of Buddhism which informs and changes the way that Buddhists actually look upon their world. You think you can understand that if from a Buddhist perspective, if we realize we've lived many, many times, and we'll also live after this birth, after this life rather, then the death of a person is not, it's important, but it's not so important. When you realize you're going to live again many, many times, the end of a person's life is not really a matter of life and death, as they say. This thing's more important. More important than dying is the quality of life. So these are important questions and important aspects which Buddhism we look at and we face. But when we start to talk about rebirth, first of all, many people come up with questions about rebirth. One of the first questions they often come up with is that how can there be rebirth? How can actually get reborn when there's probably more people alive today than have ever been born in the whole of history? Where did everyone come from? There's not enough people who've died actually to make all the human beings which are alive today. And the answer from this is not a new answer, the answer from the 2600 years ago when the Buddha started teaching is that people actually go from various states of existence in rebirth, not just from human birth to human birth to human birth, but from animal realms to human realms to ghost realms to the realms of the angels, what we call devas. Devas is like a word for meaning like radiant beings, beings of light. That's actually the word for a lamp in Sanskrit is the same word for a deva. And this is actually where we get deus in Latin, theology, Zeus. Comes from actually the same Indian word, which is like for an angel, being a being of light. So there's all these different beings in the whole Buddhist cosmos. Not just human realms, but many realms. And the reason why there's more people alive today than there's ever been human beings being alive is you can actually see that the animal realm, as many species become extinct, the number of higher animals has got less and less and less, and that's where many human beings have come from in Buddhist ideas, which is one of the reasons why many people behave like animals these days, because animals in their last life. That's only a joke, please don't take me seriously. But that going from one life to another, or one species to another, or one life form to another, was central to the original Buddhist teachings. So this actually explains why there are more human beings today than has ever been born before, because they've come from different realms of existence other than the human realm. And the next thing which people sort of argue, saying, how can that happen? Aren't human beings so different than the animals? Or in even these other realms of beings like ghosts and angels, what proof have you that such beings exist? But the first question is, now how can sort of we get reborn from different species? As a scientist, before I was a monk, I know quite a bit about science, and certainly in the differentiation of life forms on this planet, the person who invented the word species was a biologist called Linnaeus, and when he decided to actually to classify all the known living beings on this planet, he worked out a system called species, and to be scientific, he worked out a set of criteria, a set of tests, which he would apply to every living being known at that time in order to put them in this box or that box. He was actually worked out the different species. But unfortunately, when he came to three classes of animals, which were chimpanzees, gorillas, and human beings, his criteria, which he applied without distinction or preference to all other beings, he could not apply it to those three animals, because his science told him that those beings were one and the same species. Human beings, gorillas, chimpanzees are the same species, according to the person who actually invented this. But he realized that at that time, Europe would not allow human beings to be classed alongside gorillas and chimpanzees. And so he went against his science and created a completely artificial and separate species called human beings. As far as he was concerned, those beings are the same species. There's not that much difference, what we're saying here, between many of the animals, especially the higher animals, and human beings. And so it's quite easy to see how rebirth can happen from one of those species to another. Sometimes people say that some of those animals haven't got the same intelligence as human beings. How can they go from one place to another? But again, modern research has shown many animals which have great degrees of intelligence, even having speech. You may have seen in documentaries, there was a gorilla in New York Zoo called Coco who was taught sign language. And that gorilla could actually communicate with human beings using sign language, which developed for people who couldn't speak. And what was most interesting, that he was found in his cage on several occasions talking to himself. He was an intelligent gorilla who could actually use constant